Welcome to Syntax. This is the podcast for webmasters. I hope you got this queued up in your Zune or your iPod Nano because we're going to be talking all things web today. In fact, we have so many new things to talk about, from new versions of jQuery to design patterns and all sorts of stuff. It's going to be a really great show. So my name is Scott Talinsky. I'm a developer from Michigan. With me, as always, is Wes Boss. What's up, Wes?
Hey, not too much. I'm pretty excited to talk about all the exciting stuff. I was flipping on my BlackBerry earlier, and I got a BBM PIM from my buddy Chris, and he was telling me all about this new jQuery mobile, and I was like, there's no chance it works with WebOS, and it does. So some really, really exciting stuff. Also around slicing up PSDs, custom fonts on the web, which is like I'm a justified Verdana kind of guy, but custom fonts got me looking over, you know?
Yeah.
So
I always went straight Georgia. You know, Georgia has enough of a professional look for me.
Yeah, not a bad stack.
It's not a bad stack. Not at all. And you know what, Wes? One of the things we have in our docket here is that the jQuery 1.2 is released, but in that same realm, did you know that Sentry now has a jQuery plugin? You can use this right with the rest of your jQuery code. You can just drop this thing in here. In fact, I just hotlinked it straight from the website. I just
love hotlinking.
Clicked the link and just dropped it right in. Next thing you know, I can track all my errors and bugs when all of my JavaScript code, which of course I've just mostly copied and pasted from jQuery plugins. So if you want to check that out, head on over to sentry.io/syntax, sign up today, and you'll be tracking your jQuery issues left and right.
So it's like Firebug, but it logs them on an external service?
It's just like Firebug, but it puts them all into a table.
Sentry, Firebug.
Yeah, they got a nice table-based layout. You can see all of the stuff there and solve it really quickly.
Wicked. Well, let's get into new exciting news here. jQuery 1.2 dropped last week. Stoked. So a bunch of kind of interesting things going down in jQuery 1.2, but it's probably the biggest wow is $.getJSON, which is used for AJAX, pulling data from a separate URL. Now, we know that in the browser, you can't do that if you have cores set up and you can't go cross-domain. Well, we found a way around it. Enter JSON P. The P stands for JSON with padding. Mm. And now jQuery's $.getJSON will allow you to, what it does is the way that it works is you're not allowed to fetch data from one domain to another, but what can you fetch from one domain to another? JavaScript. Mm. So JSON P is essentially fetching your data, loading it as JavaScript, and jQuery is going to give you a callback. And when it runs that function, you get the data and you can hot potato it back into your callback of $.getJSON.
Is my data coming in as XML? It better be.
Yeah, well, XML honestly is the standard for the industry right now. And it's a titan. I don't think it will ever be displaced. But my old buddy Douglas Crockford, I was over at Yahoo the other day. Having some lunch with Douglas Crockford, and he's trying to push this thing called JSON. So we'll see. It's starting to become popular with AJAX and Dig and a lot of these really popular websites where you don't even have to reload the page. Yeah, there's talk, even Google Maps is going to be rolling it out soon.
JSON, that sounds like my coworker who can't send her a div. what kind of jQuery libraries are you using these days, speaking of jQuery? I know we got some new features here. Of course, love jQuery plugins because, let's face it, I'm not going to write this JavaScript code myself.
No, but just hotlink those suckers into the head of your document.
Yeah.
Seven or eight.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get a lot of good stuff going. In fact, Lightbox is something that I use on just about every project right now. I'll do an image grid, and typically you want to see those images way bigger.
Yeah.
So you use a Lightbox. That works really well. Or you can drop it in as just a straight-up WordPress plugin. Or there's a newer one called FancyBox. Now, I don't know if you've seen these transitions on FancyBox, but it zooms in. We get actual animation here. It looks really good, and it has a nice little border and shadow on it. Pretty sweet stuff.
Man, you pair that with Adobe Photoshop 7 has this new way to automate thumbnails. So you got a whole, you got to have thumbnails for these things, right?
Yeah.
So
you what need you two do, sizes. You need the big one and the small one.
And the thumbnail. Because
you can't just keep the small ones. You can't. Keep, no. Well, that's actually a sick tip right there. You can't take the big ones and then display them small, because then you're loading a big old image. You only want to load that big image when you click on it. So you're saving yourself some megabytes there.
So yeah, if Photoshop has a batch, you can throw them in. You can automate. It takes. You could resize like a folder of probably 80 images in probably 12 minutes. Mm. Another 10 minutes to FTP upload them, and you've got thumbnails all day long. But
what's your favorite FTP client, by the way? While we're on this, we're just listing our favorite stuff. You on CyberDuck? Because I like CyberDuck a lot, really. But the UI is a little bit, you know. I think Transmit is the one that, like, you know, you got to pay for it. But I think the interface is worth it.
I was saving the sick pick for a little bit later, but I've been on Coda. I've just been FTPing straight into my box directly. I got a Media Temple box with 47 different WordPress sites running on it. I just FTP right into that sucker and start editing the files directly. Every time you save it, boop, uploads it. Beautiful.
Yeah, love that.
Instant deployment. But my favorite plugin is jQuery BBQ. There's this new sort of like movement in the browser right now, which is being able to change the page without reloading the page. And the way that you can do that is with the hash bang. You know, you have the pound after on your URL. It's used to jump to a specific part of your page. jQuery BBQ, it stands for, what does it stand for? Hold on, let me open
back
up
button
my,
and query.
Back button and query. So that'll fire off an event when somebody changes the hash of the page, and then you can switch the thing. Terrible for SEO, but pretty exciting new idea of maybe a future of pages that can change the URL without having to reload the page.
Yeah. I want my baby back. Hey, you remember that commercial that's on right now? It's all over the place right now.
I've been super into the baby what's back.
Oh yeah,
that Unreal commercial. Yeah. Yeah,
these are so funny. Or the frogs, the Budweiser. Gosh, commercials are great. I can't wait for the next year's Super Bowl to see what comes out. All right, next up is jQuery Mobile. Man, have you seen jQuery Mobile? Now, I don't have an iPhone, right? So I don't have that UI, but I can get the same UI that's on a iPhone on the web, just by using jQuery Mobile, and it's all HTML5.
It's the power of HTML5.
Yeah, wow. On your phone, it looks just like an iPhone. That's amazing.
Pretty excited that the future of building, it's pretty clear to me that in a couple of years from now, all apps are going to be built with HTML5. And it supports everything. Like HP WebOS, I got my HP TouchPad going on it the other day. HP TouchPad, one of the best tablets you can get there. Running on a BlackBerry Curve, no problem. It's pretty exciting times for mobile-based apps.
Yeah, that's really neat. I think it's going to be a game changer. I think we'll start to see it absolutely everywhere. You go to a website on your phone, what you expect to get something that feels like it's on a phone. You're not just going to get the website all really itty-bitty. I got to like pinch and zoom in.
Custom-built sites for mobile is the future, and especially now that you can't do position fixed on mobile, but they've re-implemented all of scrolling to make this work.
Yeah. My Droid doesn't do like multi-touch, so I can't even do pinch and zoom super good. It's hard.
You gotta get a BlackBerry, brother.
I can't. Well, one, I do like my keyboard. That's the reason why I got the Droid. I can slide it open and double type with my. But I also want the touch screen. So I'll I don't know about the BlackBerries. That's something my dad uses. I don't know. I don't know if I can go iPhone either. But speaking of the iPhone, something that they've been doing like all over the place is this skeuomorphic design. You may have heard that term around if you've been on the web at all. Skeuomorphic design is really design that looks like real stuff. For instance, I saw a header on an iPhone app that looked like leather. And I looked at this
lickable
thing.
Lickable designs.
Yeah, this is like... This is pro. It looks like it belongs in a briefcase, right? Because it's got that leather design. In fact, I'm even working on a skeuomorphic design for my parents' website right now. And guess what? The header looks like felt. And it has like little stitches on it. So it looks like it's being stitched, but I'm doing it with just a dotted line. Oh, yeah. It looks so good. And it looks real. I just did it in Photoshop. And you can just cut that stuff right out of Photoshop, toss it as a background image. Next thing you know, you got all kinds of textures and stuff.
Beautiful. Let's talk about like slicing up your PSD. So you're working on a website, like you got that felt texture there. You need to slice that sucker up. What's your approach to slicing up a PSD these days?
Yeah. You know, sometimes I would use the crop tool, crop it, save it, and then undo. But what I'm doing now, I'll do my whole design and I'll make sure to include everything in layers property, right? I'm naming my layers. I'm doing the layers and all that stuff. Then I take all of the text layers that I don't want to be on there and I hide them and I have just the website. Then I use the slice tool, which is really, really handy. If you know the slice tool, you can essentially create sections of your website. Then when you go to export, you select which of those slices that you want and it'll export them as individual images. That way I can get the repeating felt pattern for the background, the noise pattern. I can do, even I have a little transition between the two. I cut that out. The entire footer itself, obviously. The logo, some of the buttons I have, I cut those straight out of the design. And I'll lay some real text on top of those buttons sometimes. But most of the time, I'm just cutting out the whole button as is. Because otherwise, how else are you going to get those shadows and border radius, all that stuff to behave well?
Yeah, you got your moving doors technique to get those buttons adjustable. Let me put you on to something here, Scott. Okay. MacRabbit has an app called Slicey. And it blows your mind. You go into your layers tab in Photoshop. You rename your layers to something like bg.png. You want to export a GIF. Maybe you got a couple of things with transparency that's needed. You drag drop your PSD into Slicey. I'll put a link in the show notes below. And it just out the other end. It's going to slice up your thing. Pretty new, $25. Well worth your money. I've been a big fan of this one, cranking out WordPress themes.
Oh, nice. Yeah, love that. Speaking of themes, let's talk about an awesome new font method.
QFON. So there's two sort of things. There's QFON and Cipher right now, and there's some really neat Flash devs have been working on how do you get custom fonts on the web, right? You got WebSafe fonts, and you got fonts that are used in Photoshop. I'm usually just a Verdana guy. I talked about that. The designers keep sending me over things with custom fonts. Somebody found out about DaFont, and it's kind of over. Now, QFON, what it does is it crawls your page with JavaScript, finds anywhere that there's text, and it's going to replace it with a Flash embed, and then you will get it. Replaces the whole thing with your custom fonts. As you can do custom fonts in Flash, but you can't do it in the browser. So, certainly excited. I've been a bit of a QFON guy myself, but Cipher is definitely a very handy one as well.
Yeah, and you can use QFON just by hotlinking straight from the website. We'll have a link for that straight in the show notes. And it actually uses VML or SVG. Keep in mind that the new hot browser, Chrome, does not support VML at all. So you'll want to keep that in mind when making those choices. I got a design the other day for a local band and used the font from the movie Predator. What do you think? How am I supposed to do this? And I guess we now have QFON to save today. So I'm going to have to try that out for this new Predator font website.
Speaking of Chrome, finally catching up to the big dog Firefox here. Is Chrome 4 has rolled out behind a prefix rounded corners in CSS.
Ooh, yes.
Gonna save me so much time.
Yes.
Instead of like before, we had to do the old 9 panel. You export that sucker from Photoshop. You have a table with 9 different segments in it, and then the middle section is where you put your content. Now we have rounded corners right in CSS. I'm gonna hotlink you our awesome website, css3please.com. And that's going to give you the vendor prefixes for WebKit, which is going to be your Chrome and your Safari, and you're going to get the Moz prefixes You're going to get the MS prefixes for IE, and you're going to get the O prefixes for Opera. So you don't have to write those by hand anymore. Simply just copy and paste them into your CSS files.
I'm just going to bookmark this and copy and paste directly from this website 10 to 12 times a day.
Yep.
And it's going to pair really nicely with my 960 grid system. It's going to be really super great. Let's talk about Coda, which is your text editor of choice. I've been on TextMate for a little while now. Why would I want to use something like Coda?
No, Coda is where it's at. So Coda is a text editor from a company called Panic, and they have the best syntax highlighting built right in. You can have four or five tabs open at once, and it doesn't slow yourself down. And the kind of the killer feature to me is that, you know, we just talked about Transmit FTP client. That's also made by Panic. So all the features of Transmit are built right into Coda. And if you have a client's website, you don't have to drag and drop the whole thing every time you want to deploy it. You simply just FTP directly into your box. It's going to populate all the files in your sidebar, and you can edit it directly from your server. And as soon as you hit save, it's live on the website. What's better than that?
I'm going to panic. I'm panicking when I saw how much that app cost, because that's a bit expensive for me. I guess I have used the Adobe Suite, but I at least have that already with my Dreamweaver. Now, that said, Wes, I'm so used to logging into my cPanel and just dragging and dropping the files into whatever folder I want. So it's hard to break those habits, even
though
FTP, I know.
You got FTP, my friend. It's the future.
I know. I always get to the connection screen. I'm like, what am I supposed to input here? Where do I get these credentials from? I got to do it. Next one up is CoffeeScript. Now, CoffeeScript has been a new hot thing. Everybody's been talking about CoffeeScript. Some people are not convinced, but CoffeeScript is this new way to write JavaScript. It is more like Ruby, and it's a little weird. I'll tell you that. It's definitely more than a little weird, and it can get a little confusing. So you have a top five CoffeeScript features list here. I want to hear this.
Yes. Here's a couple little tips. I know everybody's probably dabbled a little bit in CoffeeScript, and one of the big ones is being able to interpolate a variable inside of a string. Right now, we gotta close the string. You got to use the plus that concatenate it on.
What does interpolate mean?
Interpolate. You have double quotes in CoffeeScript. You just pop a variable right inside that string, and you can use it. Just like you were to use in PHP and or in Ruby, you can now do that in JavaScript.
You don't have to do the plus sign. Okay.
No pluses. We got splats, which is if you want to collect a whole bunch of arguments and from a function with the triple dots. There's arrow functions, which are really nice when you don't want to rebind the value of this.
They look cool as hell, too.
Yeah, little dash, angle bracket, arrow function, I'm in.
Shorthand.
It's all indentation-based. The at shorthand for this. So if instead of saying this.name, this.person, you simply say at name, and that will compile to it. Yeah, unreal. Wow. So, and like the whole looping if, isn't, or, no, it's just plain text. It's true or false. What am I, a robot? Let me use yes or no.
Yeah, that's how we talk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's how you should code.
It's simultaneously confusing and really interesting at the same time.
Yeah.
We'll have to see where CoffeeScript goes. It really feels like you're coding from the future.
Speaking of confusing, let's talk about some conference talks that I've caught up with lately.
Yeah, these are always over my head, so I'm excited to see what you got here.
JSConf EU, this guy, Ryan Dahl, comes and says, I'm going to put, get this, you're gonna pee your pants, JavaScript on the server. This guy creates this thing called Node.js, and he's saying, I'm gonna take JavaScript from the browser that we know, the V8 engine that's behind Chrome. Chrome 4 came out the other day. I'm gonna stick that thing on the server, and you're gonna run JavaScript like it's PHP or Ruby or Python or something. I know a bad idea when I see it.
Yeah,
no thanks from me.
Can I load WordPress with that? Like,
no way. There's nothing. There's no frameworks built in, server-side frameworks in JavaScript. What are people going to build a whole ecosystem for managing packages in JavaScript? I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I need my my plugins. I need my all that stuff.
Well, also, down the CoffeeScript world, you love Rails? Folks over at Shopify created Batman.js, which is a sort of like a Rails in the browser. You can build these applications. You get there's liquid style syntax in the browser. There's data bindings for rapid HTML rendering, structured directory content. You got your MVC baked right in there. Batman.js.
I don't even know how I would use any of this stuff. I feel like my, you know, where does this fit into my templates? Speaking of my templates, WordPress 2.3 was announced.
Yep.
RSS support, baby. Hey, yep. If you don't have RSS on your website today, what are you even doing here?
A couple episodes ago, we also talked about some of the WordPress is working on new taxonomy syntax, and they have finally rolled out support for tags. Jeez. On our blog.
Come on.
We've been using third-party plugins forever to get tags on our posts in WordPress, and WordPress 2.3 coming in hot, first-class support for tags in WordPress, which is going to make building blogs so much better. PHP 5.2 also came out, JSON extension on by default. Kind of interesting. We talked about, and we know this is an XML world and big corpos are using SOAP still, but PHP seems to think JSON is going to be the future as well. So they've taken the PHP extension and turned it on by default. So you no longer have to go in and throw a PHP info into the header of your WordPress site, you'll dump all your PHP features right on the page there, and you can take a look, and that extension will be installed by default.
Oh, JSON, that sounds like my coworker who can't clear a float. All right, that's it for this episode. We are, of course, sponsored by Media Temple, the only place to host your websites if you're serious. Are you kidding me? Have you seen the design of their website? It looks so much
more legit. I was on GoDaddy for a long time, but Media Temple is it.
Yeah, I know, for real. I just can't. The GoDaddy, you try to sign up, they try to sell you 100 things. I just want a nice, simple cPanel, a nice little interface to get going, or just a nice interface to get my applications up and running. And of course, it's a super duper reliable host that will never go away or be sold to GoDaddy. As always,
I trust them.
Yeah, you can catch us on all the hot social medias, latest of which, Google Wave. I don't know if you got access to this, but they're starting to send out invites. Yeah, this thing, wild stuff. It feels like the future. Also, you can make sure you vote for this episode up on Dig. We want to get right up to the top there. If we can get up to the top of Dig, I'm pretty sure.
Make sure you dig us.
Yeah,
we'll get. Hopefully, our servers can handle it. We'll get the hug of death, you know. Yeah. So we might have to go slide a couple blades in the server cabinet to make sure we can handle the traffic. But we can. And like, also, I've been microblogging on Pounce lately as well. Oh. So certainly check out my Pounce. I'm at WestBoss.
I have a Zanga. You can check out my Zanga at S. Tolinsky.
Wicked. All right. Well, thank you to everybody so much for tuning in. We enjoyed this episode, and we'll catch you on the next one. April Fools!
Wes. Oh. Oh, man. I don't know if you noticed, but I got a NERD sweatband.
Whoa, that's awesome. And you got the Atari shirt on.
Yeah.
I couldn't find my jQuery shirt. I still have a jQuery shirt. It's not here, though. It's at the cottage, but I found my HTML5 one.
And it's brilliant. All of my old tech shirts were either a size small or not relevant. So I went with the band. I also considered this brand new T-shirt. I was hoping that this one would give a nice bit of nostalgia. Well, either way, this is our April Fool's episode. I hope y'all enjoyed this one. It was way too much fun to do. So
peace.
Peace.